My goal when I meet clients is I want people to like me first because then they'll follow me anywhere.
Hello, and welcome to episode 139 of the Smart Agents Podcast. As always, my name is Michael Walter and I'll be your host. In today's episode, we're joined by Chicago-based agent Lauren Herskovic. After a career as the COO of a small startup, Lauren decided it was time to make a change and real estate stood out. Now, as you'll hear, rather than jumping right in, Lauren decided to take more of the apprentice approach and it has paid off big. Throughout our conversation, Lauren shares how she was able to close more than $6 million in her rookie year, tips for standing out with clients, especially the newer growing customer base of millennials and Gen Zers, and advice for finding the right brokerage when starting your real estate career. Now, before we get on to the day's featured interview, make sure to subscribe to the Smart Agents Podcast. You can find the show on all major podcasting platforms such as Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and now Amazon Music. Also, if you or someone else on your team has an incredible story or real estate tips to share with our community, send us a message to feedback@smartagents.com. We're always on the lookout for new stories to share. All right, let's get on to the day's featured interview with Lauren Herskovic. I really enjoyed our conversation and I hope you do as well. The way I like to start everything out is if you could just introduce yourself to us a little bit, who you are and where you're at.
So my name is Lauren Herskovic, and I am a broker in Chicago. Agents are brokers. So I'm an agent in Chicago, and I'm with Compass out of our Lincoln Park office.
Great, great. Tell me, how did you get involved in real estate? Because from, you noticed you had a career much, before real estate.
Yeah, I had a few careers before real estate, which might be normal for real estate agents. Not normal for my parents. They were really just trying to get me to figure it out. But right before real estate, I was the COO of a consulting company, like a small startup that had grown. I was there for about 7 years. And during the time that I was there, I bought my first home in Chicago. And I just really loved the process. I had a really good time to the point that after I closed on my house, I kept going to open houses, which started to get a little bit weird. So I was really miserable in my career. My hours were horrible. I had no work-life balance, and it was just really sucking the soul out of me. But I was afraid to make the leap into real estate, just to go into a career where, I had a really nice salary and then I was going to go and have nothing. So I actually reached out to my agent who had many, many years in the business, but didn't seem to be like a particularly organized human being. And to me, I never want to do anything until I'm really good at it. And so I didn't want to just become an agent without being mentored. So I made a deal with him and I have a background in operations. So I said, I will build the infrastructure of your entire business and I will be your, I'll be your assistant. I will soak up everything. I just want you to mentor me. And then after a year, I'll be an agent. And so that is how I transitioned in, which was really good for me because I'm a very risk averse person and that gave me a salary. But it was also, I don't know any other way of doing it, but I learned the business from the inside out from, a team of agents who had a lot of experience and learning how to build a business from the inside and just watching how other people do things. I was like 10 steps ahead of everybody else the first year I actually was a producing agent. So it really helped me learn the business so that way I would feel more confident and I could really sell that as a new agent versus just being like fresh off the boat.
Right. Yeah. No, I really like that idea, the kind of apprenticeship almost of, getting your feet wet and kind of understanding everything before you're thrown out there because it is, I talk to so many people that, they get their license and then it's, there you go. You got to go figure out how to make a living.
Yeah. And like every single deal that you do is new and different. I've never had two deals that ran in a linear fashion. So we're always constantly learning and being on a team, I got to learn a lot faster because I was seeing multiple deals, but it was just like I was able to see how people speak to things, how people show properties, how people have difficult conversations with their clients. And there's no way you can learn that in this business without watching it. And so I just felt like, there's a lot of people who want to get into this business and they want to make a bunch of money really fast. And they think they don't need help. And maybe that's true, but I just feel like I'm such a better agent because I got help. And I think there's so much to learn. I don't know how people do it without mentorship.
Right. Absolutely. So how long ago did you get, did you start your real estate career?
In 2018.
2018. Okay, great. So you got
5 years.
Right. Started, kind of got your feet wet, and then COVID obviously hit and things, market totally changes to where, you know, your mentors, you, they went through market changes, but nothing like what we saw the last couple of years.
Yeah. I mean, my team leader and like, I always say we're very fortunate that we found each other because I think we, he was sort of looking for what I had to offer, but couldn't find it. And then he was such a great mentor to me, but he got into the business in 2008. So his first deal was a friend who had to bring, you know, a ton of cash to the closing table because he was underwater. So he has actually been an awesome mentor because he's seen, you know, ebbs and flows of the market. I think 2020, nobody saw that. Nobody could have seen that coming. And there was no mentor who could get you through that because they had no, and none of us knew what we were doing. But I feel having a support system at that time was just, for our emotional well-being, was so important because of everything that was going on. And I feel like at that time for me personally, I was just looking for someone to like lead or just give us some sort of direction. And our COO, or sorry, our CEO, Robert Refkin, he really stepped into that role. And look, I'm not like a, I'm not a Kool-Aid drinker. I'm not, you know, a lot of people are going to, a lot of people at this company, especially, we love Robert. And I do. I think he's an excellent leader, but like truly unbiased, like he really stepped up and like made us feel safe. And that really helped us because we needed to then trickle that down to our clients because none of us knew what was, you know, what was happening.
Right. So tell me about, you know, once you got, you know, kind of through your learning phase and really kind of jumped into it full force, that after that year of beginning to, you know, kind of ingratiating yourself in the industry, what was the success like? How did it go for you?
So I was really lucky, or I mean, or brilliant, however you look at it. But to me, it was luck because who knew how this was going to turn out. But while I was being mentored, I was like all the marketing that the team was doing to their sphere, I was doing to my sphere, even though I wasn't a practicing agent. And at that time, I was like, well, if anybody wants to buy or sell, you know, I would refer that to a teammate because I had committed to being in, I was licensed, but I was committed to being in this role as an assistant. But I think what happened was because I came out of that year and I had already been marketing people so long, and now I could leverage my team and I could leverage my year of experience. And I also was very fortunate, you know, I got into real estate in my mid 30s. So your first clients are usually people that know you, and they already knew that I was a very, I had been successful before. So they kind of trusted me, but they also were making more money than they would have if we started in our 20s. So that was part of it. But I had followed someone and saw exactly what he needed to do to be successful. And I was like, well, I'm going to do that exact same thing. And then my first year, you know, he had set a goal for me, you know, just try to push me into something. He was like, why don't we say, let's see if you can do 5 million in your first year. And I am a very goal oriented person. That's just inherently inside of me. So I ended up doing 6 million that year, which was a lot. But you always, I think one of the things that sucks about this industry is that there's no one path. And so you never really, you're always comparing yourself to someone who's more successful than you. So it's hard to see like, oh, that was like kind of legit. That was a big year. I just didn't know. I was like, I don't know. People do, what do people do? And then when other agents were like telling me like, whoa, that's actually kind of big for year one, I was like, oh, okay. Like I had no idea.
Yeah. So, you know, going, you know, from that year and then progressing from on there, you know, how did things kind of start growing for you? And how were you, you know, I know you said you did the, you were doing the marketing that the team had previously, but what else were you doing to kind of get your name out there and to kind of start bringing in those new leads?
So for me, the team that I am on, we're a very relationship focused team. So what we do is really focused on building and maintaining relationships, starting with the people that know you. So, you know, there are a lot of teams with a lot of success with buying leads. That's just not how I'm not good at that. I'm not good at cold calling. So we're just a very relationship focused team. And so that is really like all I'm focused on. And it took me a little while to figure out what worked for me. You know, I was like, oh, I should do Instagram and I should do this. And, you know, I would look at what other agents were doing. And then I was like, that's not me. So what I realized was For me, it was getting out, being social and meeting new people. And then it was a more organic way of building relationships. And so that's what I was doing. It's like I meet people and then we are very systems based in terms of following up with people and staying in front of people and just really connecting and having what we call productive connects with people. So it's not just like empty platitudes or really impersonal newsletters. It's like truly connecting and then having meaningful relationships with them. And that really propelled my relationship or my business, because I think a lot of people are like, well, I want to get in and I want to be in luxury. And my focus was really strategic. I was like, in my first year of real estate, I want to have as many clients as I possibly can, because I want to build a strong base where they will then refer me. So I'd rather have 10 clients that get me to 6 million than 2 clients, because now I have 10 people referring me. So that has always been my focus. It's just like meet, do a really good job and stay in touch with them. And my clients become these like referral machines because they're all millennials and they're all buying. And so that has been really, really successful for me.
Right. I really like that idea of, you know, those first couple of years really trying to get as many clients. You know, it's going to be a hustle. You're going to have a lot of things going on. But if you can have a whole bunch of transactions take place, that's, like you said, it's a whole army of people out there that's referring you.
Yeah. And when you're new, maybe not everybody feels this way, but I feel like people are coming to me in this most important time of their lives, and they are looking to me to know what I'm doing. And when I was new, it's like, well, you always question, like, do I know what I'm doing? So it's great when you have a team that you can, you know, go back to. But I liked working with first-time homebuyers because just to make myself feel better, it's like, well, I definitely know more than those people know, you know? Right. And so, you know, and now obviously I work with people, you know, investors all over the place, but I still like working with first-time homebuyers the best, because I feel like they are the ones who appreciate you the most. Yep. And they are the ones who feel the most grateful for your support. And then, you know, and that feels good. But then also then they just sing your praises from the rooftops.
Right. When, so you talked about being really, you know, system oriented and very organized. And a lot of times when I talk to people, you know, they talk about, you know, making those relationships out in the public, but where a lot of people fall short is then you, okay, you made the relationship, but now I got to get him into that system. How did you, you know, what's kind of your process to make sure that from the time you meet somebody, say like the grocery store or whatever, that they get into that flow?
Yeah. And it's funny that you bring that up, because I was out the other night with someone and he told me the last time he ever spoke to his agent was the day before he closed on his house. And he was like so upset, because he's like, we went golfing together. Like, I thought we were friends. And I was like, that guy's a big dime, because like, yeah, he just lost the opportunity to like have that relationship. And I think it's just as important after, maybe even more than it is before. But we are very big CRM users on our team. We built our CRM previously on RealVolve, which was like the most intense CRM that there is. And it took me a year to build it. And we used that for a while. And then Compass's CRM caught up in capability. So we migrated over there. So a lot of it is, we have what we call action plans. And none of it is automated, because a lot of us are catering to millennials and Gen Zers, and they want very authentic, very personalized, customized. They can see through all the BS. And so our action plans are more reminders to do it versus giving you something like canned to say. Yeah. But we put everybody into the CRM. They automatically go into these action plans. And then we carve out time like to go on social media and like find out what's going on in their lives and really interact with them. Or, you know, as a team, we do bigger team events to get in front of them again. But then I do smaller events, like, you know, I'll pick 10 people and we'll do, last year I did this like fun cookie decorating class. And I mean, the truth of it is, a lot of my clients, like, I really do love and connect with and just have a really good relationship. So a lot of it is organic. And, you know, one of my clients is coming over next week for like a glass of wine. Like, it is a much more personalized thing. And that's not scalable necessarily, but just being very strategic, you're never going to remember to follow up with everybody. So if you systematize things and then your system reminds you, that is how you do it. Because I mean, literally this guy couldn't remember his agent's name and they worked together for 8 months.
Right.
They better remember my name. That is my one rule.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned that, you know, the millennials and the Gen Zers, they can see through all the canned stuff. And I think it's really interesting because, you know, everywhere else, like, oh, it's just text, you know, you can text everybody and you can do all this stuff. But I feel like in this home buying process, the millennials and the Gen Zers, like having somebody that you feel a real connection to that is going to be your advocate and kind of train you and walk you through this big process, I think, like, that's invaluable. I know my agent didn't do that. Our first
me either,
agent.
And I went to work for that man. Yeah. But that's like, especially in the market that we're in right now, like, I know it's different everywhere, but in Chicago, we are in a super low inventory world and everything is a multi-offer situation and everybody has to wipe out every contingency. Like, we're back where we were last year. And so if the client doesn't trust you when you are being like, no, give me an extra 15 grand over list price, you know, then they really do need to trust you because we are asking them to do things their parents didn't have to do when they bought a house, you know?
Right.
And so that's the most important thing for me. Like, my goal when I meet clients is I want people to like me first because then they'll follow me anywhere.
Right. Yeah. Tell me about, you know, with all the success you had right out of the gate, and it can be, I know some people that when they have a lot of success, it can get to their head and they can, you know, start kind of taking things for granted. So I want to hear like what your thoughts on, you know, being humble with your success that you're having.
I mean, I'm like a very self-deprecating person. So humble is just, just part of it. But I feel like this business, like, look, in my first 4 years of this business, my career, my numbers were just on an upward trajectory, but a lot of that was like, it was 2020, it was 2021, it was 2022. And I knew that that was not about me. That was the world that we lived in. And then you get to this year and the market just completely humbles you because no matter how good you are, you may never be able to top your success year over year. The environment doesn't allow that to happen. But I just feel like I've had many experiences with agents who are very successful and very arrogant about it. And their arrogance and their egos actually get in the way of what's best for their clients. And I never want to be that person. Like, I think we're all on sort of borrowed time in this industry. Like, you never know what's going to happen. And so I'm just going to, you know, my thing is put your nose down and just do a good job. And, you know, like, the bigger your ego gets, the more likely it is that you're going to make mistakes. And I just feel like I'm not good at making mistakes. I'm not good at not being good at something. And so I just want to just stay focused so that way my clients get the best of me and this industry doesn't get the best of me.
Right. Well, and I think having that approach also, you know, kind of helps. It helps shield you against, you know, some market dips where if you do a really good job and in, you know, 5 or 6 years, something else crazy happens. Well, law of averages, some of those people are going to be looking to move again. And if you've kept up with them and, you know, their business is going to come to you regardless of what the market conditions are like.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, two things. One, I had a client this year and she was referred to me and, you know, her budget was $100,000, which in the city of Chicago does not get you very far. And, you know, she was referred to me by a friend. She was, you know, I love helping single women buy homes because I think that is just such a power move. And she's a teacher and I was so excited to help her. And she got in my car the first day and was like, I was looking at all your deals that you've ever done and I'm the lowest one. Like, are you sure you want to help me? And it's like, I never want to be somebody who will think somebody's purchase is beneath them because my first purchase was $100,000 and that was the most money that I'd ever spent. So that's the first thing is like, I never want someone to feel like they're not worth my time. That is just, that feels so bad. But the other thing is like, you know, going back to when I got started, there's so many people who are like, I can't believe you're going to go from being a COO to being someone's assistant. And it's like, I have no ego about this. Like, I will kiss the feet of anybody who will teach me something. And I do think that served me really well. I think being a little bit too high on my own supply at that point in my career probably would have ended my real estate career. So I just feel like we all have something to learn, even people who've been in this industry for 20 years. And I feel like we should all take advantage of the opportunities that we have to learn from each other.
Right. Absolutely. Tell me about, you know, in that same vein, finding the right mentor, because obviously you had somebody in the situation that you, you know, got yourself into, it worked out very well.
Yes,
and
I was
the
very
training
lucky.
And the people that you were able to learn from. But how important it is to make sure when you're starting out that you have somebody there that has your back and kind of walk you through the process.
Yeah. I mean, I talk about this all the time because when we interview new agents for our team, I think I was really lucky because the agent that I went to go work with is not ultimately who I'm with right now. He was on a team and someone else on his team who I just vibed with more was like, I'm going to go. Do you want to come with me? And I was just so fortunate because I believe we are both more successful for knowing each other. But the problem with being new in this industry and looking for a mentor is that you don't know what you don't know. So you don't know what to ask and you don't know what you need and you don't know what to look for. So I think I always tell people to, one, like, I think everybody probably knows someone who's a real estate agent, like somewhere. So go to someone that you trust if they're in a different state, whatever, and just like start a, like, I think it's really important to understand this business. I think it's so glamorized. And people don't realize like what it takes to actually be good at it. And so I think it's important to understand like, what does this job look like on a day-to-day basis? And then try to just, and it's hard. It might take being at two different teams or three teams until you truly figure it out, but being really honest with yourself about what you need. So you're not swayed by, you know, agents who are like, oh, join my team. I'll give you so many leads. And it's like, but if you're not getting structure, maybe you're someone who needs structure or you're someone who needs, leads, or you're someone who just needs you. There was a girl on our team who was great, but she had come from a team where it was like kind of more of a Redfin model where she was just showing a bunch of stuff. She was not very comfortable going out and trying to source her own business. So our team wasn't good for her because that's what we do. So I just feel like it's truly trying to figure out who you are so you can find the right mentor for you. But a lot of people don't find the right mentor until their second mentor. And that first one teaches you a lot too. So I just think you got to be honest with who you are and what you need, because if an agent says he's going to give you leads, most likely he's giving you crappy ones. Let's be honest.
Right.
No one's giving away good business.
Right. Well, and you know, you mentioned there, a lot of times it's the second mentor, the second place that you find the good mentor. And I was just talking to a woman out of Texas, and she started her real estate career. And it just, you know, they were very script focused and very, you know, do things by this playbook. And she just struggled with it because she's more the creative type. And she found somewhere that let her build her own brand. And now she's
thriving.
Like exploded. And yeah. So I think it is really interesting. You know, you really do have to look at yourself like, what works for me? And is there, where can I find a fit that I, you know, can kind of plant my flag with?
Yeah, I was invited to speak to another team at Compass because we're very relationship-based and that's just not how that team was structured. And I sat through their meeting and it was all about like, we're going to be here Monday and Wednesday for cold calling for 2 hours. And this agent got up and was like, I finally got this listing. I called the house 36 times and they finally answered on 36. And my stomach was hurting because I was like, this is my worst nightmare, truly. But there was 25 people in the room that is their bread and butter and that works for them. And if I had gone to that team, I would have been out of real estate within like 7 minutes because that is just makes me so uncomfortable. So that's the beauty of this industry is you can do it a million different ways, but that's also almost the scariest thing because it's like, well, I need someone to tell me which way to do it. And you don't always get that.
Right. Before wrapping up, I do want to ask you about the Women of Compass and what you're doing with that. And tell me, you know, just really what all you do.
So Women of Compass was started out of New York, which is where, you know, Compass is headquartered. And I started it like very informally in Chicago in 2018, but it's really become a much bigger thing now that Compass has grown so much. but it was really just a place to create community for women. You know, women, one of the reasons I love real estate is that it's one of the only industries where women have the same earning power as men and where women outnumber men. And I just think that's so powerful. And so I just love creating the space where women can support another one another. Compass is a really big culture of collaboration and education. And so, you know, it's social, it's community. It, you know, it was, and it was really important after COVID because we had so many agents come on, but none of us never met. So I just feel like when I came to Compass, there was 100 people in Chicago and now we have thousands. And I feel like it's hard to come into such a big space and like find your place. And so Women of Compass is sort of a landing place for women. Everyone's invited to all of our events, but obviously we highlight women. And it's just a place for new agents to find, to meet people and collaborate and network. And it's just awesome. I mean, I don't know how it has gotten so big. And honestly, I wish I was paid for the time I put into it, but it is worth it because people are so grateful that it's there. And I just love being a part of it. So.
Right. I think that's what's really cool about Compass in general, you know, is specifically, but the real estate industry in general, I feel like has become a little bit more collaborative than what maybe it was viewed at before, where it was like, you know, we are opposite sides of the team. Yes. This is my lead. This is my territory. You can't come in here.
Don't talk to my people.
Right. And I just, you know, talking to people like yourself that are involved in these groups, it's just really cool because, you know, it's not only helping the industry as a whole, but also you're making those referral connections at the same time.
Yeah. And to be able to sit in a room, we did this lunch a couple of weeks ago where four of like the top luxury agents in Chicagoland just shared like how they got there and what it's like. And to be first and see that like, there were such successful women and a lot of them were in their 60s and 70s. And that is just so inspiring. But to then be like, that they're just going to open up their book and be like, I'll tell you anything you want to know. I'm like, this does not happen everywhere. And so I do feel really grateful. And it is just, you know, I'm Jewish and in the Jewish faith, a lot of what we do is like you, when you're successful, you reach down and you help the next person up. And I feel like that's what Women of Compass is doing. And it's just really like awesome to see it grow.
Yeah. Well, that's really cool. I mean, in such a short amount of time, you know, to change careers, but then to also have such an impact on other people in the industry, I think is quite the story already for you.
Well, if you keep talking, I will no longer be humble. So, But yeah, I mean, this industry is awesome and it is so fun and it's the hardest I've ever worked, but the most fun I've ever had. And I'm just so grateful.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us.
Yeah, I had to go meet a client. So
I really want to thank Lauren for taking the time to speak with us today and share how she has found such great success in a short period of time in the industry. So once again, if you think you or someone else on your team has an incredible story or tip to share with our community, send us a message to feedback@smartagents.com. Well, that wraps things up for this episode, but remember, follow the show wherever you listen to podcasts and make sure to subscribe to the Smart Agents YouTube channel. Again, I'm Michael Walter, and we'll see you on the next episode.